Let's turn to the Word of God, shall we, as we find it this morning in the book of Genesis and chapter 4. The book of Genesis, chapter 4. We'll really be concentrating on the first 16 verses, but we'll read the whole chapter as it puts it all into context. The book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, that is, chapter 4, and beginning to read at verse 1. Let us hear God's word together. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. The Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. Fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Enoch. And he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives, the name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal, he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord richly bless the reading of his own precious word. Let's come now in prayer, shall we? May the Lord be pleased to help us and to still our hearts as we approach him in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious and eternal God, we come again in that mighty name of the Lord Jesus, the only name that we would dare to approach thee in and through, the only name that we will plead this morning, as always, in our prayers before thy throne, because we know that it is only by that new and living way, the way that has been brought to us through Jesus himself, who is the way, through the shedding of his precious blood, he has made that way of access into the holiest of holies and into thy very presence, and that we as sinners might come this morning to speak to our Creator God. We know that without the Lord Jesus Christ we could not approach thee. He is our mediator and advocate. He is the one upon whom we call when we feel the burden of sin, when we feel our apartness from God, when we feel all those things that bring us low in this life, we can call upon the name of the Lord and know that we will be saved. We pray then this morning that thy Holy Spirit will brood over our gathering and help us to approach thee as we do so in thy Son's blessed name. We thank thee, dear Lord, that thou dost call thy people to worship thee. We thank thee for the opportunities that present themselves, not only in our daily lives, in our homes and amongst our families, but when we come to this thy house, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, to worship thee, to hear thy word, but also to supplicate for those many needs that present themselves to us day by day. But first of all, Lord, we're here to worship thee. We're here not for our own amusement, we are here that we might pour out of our hearts adoration unto the Most High God, the God who has created all things from the beginning, the God who has fashioned us men in his own image, the God who has created all the wonder around us, the wonders of creation. And how often we have commented as we pass from season to season, those things that are fixed for the years of time, that summer and winter, cold and heat, seed time and harvest shall not fail. And how we ponder this morning and we reflect on the unchangeableness of our God, that he has set these seasons in their place that shall never be changed. Oh Lord, we thank thee. We thank thee for the beauty that is all around us. Even though we live in a world of sin and woe, we live in a world that has been dramatically changed by the effects of man's sin. Yet we think of the beauty in the creation. We think of the wonder around us. We think of the glory of the sunrises and the sunsets, the wonder of the moon in the skies as it changes from season into season. And we think of all those many opportunities that we have in our daily lives to reflect on the goodness of our God to us. We give thee thanks for the provisions of this life, for our food, for our homes, for our shelter, for our loved ones, for all those provisions that come from a gracious God, as thy word tells us, coming from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We pray, Lord, that we shall not take these things for granted, but we shall constantly in our hearts lift them up in thanksgiving before thee. And most of all, this day, this Lord's Day, we come to remember not only these things, but that thou hast made a plan, a wonderful plan of salvation to redeem lost men and women, boys and girls. We think of those early chapters of the book of Genesis and the terrible judgments that fell upon mankind, the terrible sin that entered into the world and which has marked every human being born into this world. And yet also we reflect on that message of the gospel, the wonder of salvation, the fact that the dear Lord Jesus was willing to come from the glories, the throne room of heaven, to live in this world of sin and wickedness and woe and yet be untouched by it, to be tempted in all points like as we are and yet without sin, and to give his life a ransom for many. We thank thee for that whole church which the dear Lord Jesus has purchased. We thank thee for the wonder of the atonement. It is indeed limited to the elect people of God, those whom thou hast purposed to save from before the foundation of the world. And thou art bringing to pass all the wonders of that plan and the promises thereof. And we know that the Lord Jesus will come again to receive his church to himself. That will not happen until the last elect sinner is brought in to the kingdom of God. And we thank thee that even amidst all the discouragements of this life and all the trials that face us, we know that one thing is so very, very sure, that thou art building thy church. The gates of hell themselves will not prevail against it, but thou art bringing all thy many sons to glory. And what a wonderful encouragement that is as we contemplate upon it. Sometimes we feel disheartened, sometimes we feel discouraged, sometimes we feel doubtful, sometimes we feel fearful. And yet when we look up and see our redemption draweth nigh, what an encouragement it is in our hearts to know that God is on the throne, to know that he is sovereign, to know that not a thing will come to pass, but what thou hast purposed to be our lot. We would say with the words of the hymn writer, I would not ask, dear Lord, to read my fate with curious eyes, what gloomy lines are writ for me, or what bright scenes might rise in thy fair book of grace and truth. Oh, may I find my name recorded in some humble place beneath my Lord the Lamb. Be with us then this morning, dear Lord, as we contemplate the Lamb of Emmanuel's land, as we contemplate his beauty, his glories. Oh, that we might catch a glimpse this morning of the wonder of Jesus, that it might be seen in each one of our lives, that for a little time we might be transported above all our problems, and we might be able to behold the one who is in charge, the one who really is the ruler, not only of time, but of eternity as well. And that we might take hope, we might take strength, we might take encouragement this morning to know that our times are in thy hands, not in the hands of any earthly potentate or ruler, but in the hands of the King of Glory. May that be our plea, may that be our confidence this morning, as we come in worship and around thy word. We pray, Lord, for the many situations that assail us this morning. We pray particularly for those in need at this time, and we would remember dear Eunice. We pray that thou wilt be with her. We pray that in this new situation and in this new development that she shall know the peace of God in her heart. We pray that thou wilt guide the medics and the hospital and the care home, that they might know the treatment and the help that is needed and might be able to supply it. We pray for Deborah and her husband, that they may know thy strength. We thank thee for that for such a long time they have been able to cope. We pray that thou wilt give them great strength in these times, and that they might know thy will and know the way forward. We know that Eunice will be missing the gathering of thy people for so many years. She has met with the saints of God here in this little place. We pray that even now her heart may be lifted up to thee in worship and in praise. We pray for each of our families and loved ones, those who are distant. We think of Philip in Japan again. We know he listens regularly to the sermons, and we hope to see him soon. We pray for him, that he might know the salvation of God and might have that assurance in his heart that he is one of thy children. We pray for others that are particularly in need at this time. We think of the tragedy of the war in Ukraine and how insignificant sometimes our own problems and difficulties seem to be when we contemplate the terrible bereavement and tragedy, the loss of life, the loss of property, the sheer evil that humanity is wreaking upon humanity. We feel scarcely able to contemplate or to pray. We would ask thee, Lord, firstly for thy children in the Ukraine and thy children in Russia. We know that there are many believers in these places. We pray that they may be helped along. We pray that they will not lose heart, but that they will see the wider plan, difficult though that is. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, those who have seen their families decimated in recent weeks. We can but cry out to thee that peace may again be restored and that peace may prevail. We pray, dear Lord, for our own nation here in the relative comfort that we enjoy and the relative peace that we have enjoyed for so many years. We ask that thou wilt protect our nation. Again, we remember our dear Queen and the royal household. We thank thee that even now we are still in this special year, this Platinum Jubilee year, and we pray for them. We ask that they may know grace and mercy, and that as a nation we may yet see the hand of grace extended to us further. Give us time for due repentance, we pray, as a land, that we might turn from wickedness and turn unto the joys of thy word, that we might be those people who walk in thy precepts, even in difficult times. We pray for the Church of Jesus Christ in this land, seemingly in great decline at this present time, although we're glad to hear of places here and there that are knowing the blessing of God. We have to admit that by and large many places of worship are no longer operating. So many do not have pastors or leaders. We pray for them, dear Lord. We pray for the little causes of truth with which we're associated in this corner of thy vineyard. We pray for them at Leeds and at Osset and at Thurlston. We think of the chapel in Manchester that is currently up for sale, and yet the congregation are still meeting from time to time. We pray for them. We think of how in decades gone by these northern counties were ablaze with the word of God being preached, chapels and congregations being established. We think of the days when William Gadsby and John Kershaw ministered around the fells and the dales of the Pennines. We think of the blessing that attended those ways. Yet we know, dear Lord, we must not live in the past, but look to that same God to bless us in these days, to revive thy church in the midst of the years, in wrath to remember mercy. Be with us here in Bradford, we pray. We hear only in these last few days that Bradford is the youngest city in Britain, has the youngest population of any city in this nation. We pray, Lord, for all those young people, many thousands upon thousands. We pray that hearts will yet be touched by the gospel. We pray for older people too, that ere they pass into eternity, they may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for this little cause of truth here, that thou wilt increase us. We have seen increase and then we have seen decline, and we pray that thou wilt even yet increase us, that those who are ordained by thee may come to worship with us, those who are ordained to eternal life. We believe that there will be those precious souls in this city. Oh, that thou wouldest be pleased to bring them in. So help us now as we continue in our worship. Forgive us our many sins and keep us looking to Jesus at all times and in every way, because we ask it in his precious name. Amen.